Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Walnuts are saying that, Mark.
They are.
Yeah. Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete. So I bought some walnuts.
Yeah.
Right, and if you look up, there is a thing about don't eat too many walnuts.
Well, I'm
the walnuts I have are like, just take a sensible amount.
What's in them?
I don't know, but the walnuts themselves are like, they know what's in them.
Yeah.
So the walnut people are like, we have to have a thing on there that says
metal,
don't,
radiation,
don't,
what
I don't
is...
I know.
It's bad water.
Maybe they make you super clever because they're shaped like little brains.
They're like limitless.
They're like tree brains, aren't they? So yeah, you eat like enough of them and I think you'd be like,
tree brains.
I'm really against like deforestation now. So the walnut people are like,
that's what a nut would say.
Down
I'm really against squirrels. Rubbish.
Wrestle me, Pete. So what have you been doing since last week?
Eating walnuts. Yes, I've eaten so many of them.
I've had loads.
Oh, I've gone green.
All I think about is who is going to fucking tell me what the right amount of walnuts is.
I don't know what the right... Don't eat too many.
So
it's just too
big.
As many
cashews as I want.
Just too big.
As many Brazils as I want.
Yeah.
Many hazelnuts as I want. Which
what am I... I'm eating macadamias. And the great thing about macadamias is they're usually covered in chocolate, the old macadamias.
Mm.
They're not macadamias, they're hazelnuts. I've got the packet out. I'm not even eating macadamias.
Hazelnuts are the worst nut.
No, they're not. Hazelnuts are...
They're like the British nut. That's what they are.
Hazelnuts have a taste that kind of suggests bad chocolate.
Yeah.
But even though where they're not even like covered in bad chocolate.
I think they taste like sometimes you go, are they made of wood? Is it not
oh,
a
like
nut
sawdust,
so much
yeah.
as it's just a bit of
congealed
wood.
Like a knot in a tree or something. Yeah.
This is someone from like 1850, right? Set the scene.
Yeah.
It's like sad in my life.
Yeah. Eat too many of them.
What's cheaper than going round the trees on my lady's estate? Let's just get some wood. That's the way I picture it.
Oh, it's like...
It's a good sketch, isn't it?
It's a good sketch. It needs a little bit of work.
So it's,
a little bit of work. But like, so it's two men trying to pretend that they've got access to...
I saw it more as being one guy. He's having a sort of like interior monologue, but he says it.
Cause he's thinking
cause
about
he's
making
educated.
Fake nuts.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Because I think they taste like wood. Welcome to WrestleMe. We are looking at WrestleMania 35. Been looking at it for a long time.
We have, yeah. What's your favourite nut? At WrestleMePod on Twitter, let us know. And I'm sorry to say, we're starting this show with a mismatch.
You know it.
A real mismatch.
You
mismatch.
Know it. The Miz versus Shane in a Falls Count Anywhere match. This is a match that I had no recollection ever of happening.
Well, I... because Shane only really wrestles at WrestleMania, but then I've only seen WrestleMania, so maybe he does a lot of wrestling. I don't even know it. But it's just an annual day where Shane cheats death hurting himself.
That's it. But what does come out of this match is actually a sort of quite iconic moment, which I did remember.
Right.
I just didn't remember the circumstances it had come about. So the build-up to this match is that Shane McMahon and The Miz have formed a tag team.
Mm.
And for some reason, Miz's very un-televisual dad, real-life dad, called George Mizanin, has become a key part of the angle. Now, George Mizanin, he is not young.
Mm.
But he doesn't seem old enough to be the dad of The Miz. Right?
No, yeah, exactly. Because The Miz feels like he's been around for a long time. The like Miz, an unloved grandfather clock.
The Miz could have been born at the age of about 36. And he's now looking good for 46.
Yeah.
I don't understand what his age is.
New Jersey's been kind to him.
Exactly, yeah.
A little bit too much hair gel, but his he could
dad,
dial that back.
Is dad anything between 46 and 60?
He looks a bit like Simon Weston crossed with the Million Dollar Man.
He bloody does. I sent you a photograph of George Mizanin when Miz was a child.
Yes.
Because I wanted to be sure there was documentary evidence that this man is the Miz's dad. And there is. And you absolutely nailed it. He looked like a Ace from Viz in this. What the other thing is, between the age not working out in the slightest, they do not look at all similar.
No.
There is nothing about them. Not just that they don't look like each other, but the way that they are so differently dressed and have approached being on television suggests that they have never had a conversation about it.
About the nature of it.
He's never seen his son on television.
Yeah.
That he's just gone, well, Daddy does his own thing.
Daddy fixes boats.
He does have a look at that. He has a look of a man who is in a motel. If you went to a motel, you would see that man.
He's asking if they've got any more buns at breakfast. He's just going. He's just sort of whinging, a little bit whingy.
Yeah,
like to the woman, the concierge, who has no access to the kitchens at all. He's just not enough buns.
I've
been here for 5 weeks. There's never enough buns.
You would say to him, "So what are you doing here?" And it might be something a bit surprising. He'd be like, "Every 3 years, there's a migratory." Like a bunch of starlings that come over. They're rare. Yeah. They stop on the way to Africa, and I really wanted to see them. And you go,
I didn't expect from a man who looks like a plumber.
I thought you were here to sort of like bang chicks. and he'd say, well, a little bit of that on the side, you'd have a laugh, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd have a nice laugh. This angle that has been booked is so fucking strange because it's basically Shane going, my dad is better than your dad.
I mean, empirically, he is, though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why this is a safe angle for Vince McMahon to book.
Yeah, he's found one of the most underwhelming dads. He's not picking the people who are at the end of a long kind of dynasty of wrestlers. No.
Because
then you could judge them on their merits,
they refer to him continually as a potato, which, again, is just a weird thing about... Yeah, I know your dad runs this, but why are you, a man who must be, what, 50 odd? Why are you happy to take part in this? Your dad isn't even in this angle.
Yeah.
But you're like, it's all about trying to impress your dad, isn't it? He says stuff that I don't believe, so he's sort of like talking about himself when he's talking to Miz. And he's like, what could be worse than your dad realising you were a failure? Mm. Like that. And I'm a bit like, I was thinking about it, thinking... I couldn't care less. Like that. But it's all this sort of weird.
My dad's a failure.
Yeah. No. My dad's George Mizanin. He'll be fine with it. My dad just loves me.
Yeah.
Loves? But how
what
can a
that?
Father love? How a father is simply needing. You need respect
it
of
must
father.
Be competition.
My father
for
hugs
mum.
Me. I don't want this match anymore. only in WWE would it be normal for two adults to fight about who has the best dad.
Yeah.
Some really strange bad lines in the build up to this as well, where you have Shane saying, "My only regret, Miz, is I didn't do more harm to your father." So who's right in this? And then Miz says, you weren't born best in the world. You're a McMahon, so you were born worst in the world.
Oh, hello.
These 40-year-old men are really going to get into a dad fight here. Very strange. I mean, Shane, you know, being 50 and just like, you know, it's all this daddy issue stuff, which isn't... It isn't like part of the thing. Mm. It's just that it's all there. It's all there. Miz's dad does turn out though to be great, and he's great because he isn't good at the performance part of it, and thus he is obviously a real dad.
Yes.
The funny thing about, you know, trying to impress your dad and everything is they put Miz's dad into a position where you see him and you go, I'm not impressed by him. And then you've got Miz trying to impress someone who cannot do the job that his son can do.
Yeah.
Just a weird... He's got that long, droopy, sort of sandy-coloured moustache, and he's got sort of long hair that's longer than it should be. And the biggest crime
of all,
he's got a T-shirt, but he's wearing a gold necklace over the T-shirt. It is so appalling. He does have this key moment where Shane is going to do an elbow drop onto Miz, who's on the timekeeper's table.
Mm.
And George Mizanin comes out of the crowd and then stands in front so that, you know, Shane would have to go through him.
Where was he on all of the other matches where he got his ass
kicked? I don't
know.
I was thinking exactly that. Where was he in that Cena match where Miz is legitimately knocked out and then is forced to continue? Instead, he stands there and Shane McMahon is just like... There are some things I will not do, and one of those things is, yes, I would beat up a child in front of his father, but I will not get into a scrap with a dad. Daddies are not for scrapping with. Daddies are for trying to impress. And I mean, just when you see Shane going, I cannot strike a daddy, I bet he's thinking, hopefully my father will see this. And he'll realise how important to me daddies are. daddies are so important to me that I couldn't harm one. And what happens is then George Mizanin ends up in the ring and he puts his dukes up. And he is very static and very frozen.
Mm.
It's a little bit like something's gone wrong. there's been a weirdness occur. So, he doesn't bounce around, sort of like, come on, put him up,
no,
put him up, put him
he's
up.
He's solidly stoically scared of his own... Yeah, because his own emotions. And the thing that gets me is, like, I would assume that a daddy would know how to put his dukes up.
Yeah.
And why is Shane McMahon teaching... the daddy, how to fight. I'm not sure McMahon pretends...
He lifts his arms up a bit, doesn't he? He sort of goes, up a bit, you know, cocky.
What's that about?
Do you know what? None of this was planned.
What?
Yes.
What?
And it's awful.
What?
So, George, yes, he was supposed to stand in front and stop Miz having Shane jump on him. But then, right,
he
what
goes
happened
into business
is,
for himself.
No.
What?
He was told by WWE, on no account you go in the ring. You don't go in the ring.
Okay.
Not going to happen.
Mm.
On the day, Shane is like, get in the ring. And George Mizanin is like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
I'm supposed to not get in the ring.
Right.
Shane's like, get in the ring. So he went, so I had to go for it. So in an interview, George Mizanin said, Shane told me to not get into the ring, but to follow his lead with whatever happened.
Right.
But he was calling me into the ring.
So he was told outside of kayfabe, don't get in the ring.
Yeah.
That's not where this is going to go.
Follow what I do, but don't get in the ring.
Don't get in the ring. So
Get in the ring!
He thought that was a
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
So he thought that was a live instruction.
Yeah.
For, oh, lordy.
He said he was calling me into the ring. I knew I was not supposed to get into the ring.
This is WrestleMania 35, not one.
But,
this is wonderful.
But I went in.
Brilliant.
He said, he gave me a knee in the rib and it actually broke one of my ribs. I gave him a black eye and Miz had 3 staples put in his head that day.
Oh, wonderful.
WrestleMania is the Super Bowl of wrestling and for all this to happen is nuts.
You made it happen.
Oh,
I love it.
It's so good. So I think Duke's up is he's like, I'm not going to do anything more because I don't want to get into trouble.
Yes.
I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be here. Was I supposed to come here? I don't know.
I want
to
get Shane's take on this.
I'm just going to do this.
I did.
What's funny is when Shane, like, when he puts his jukes up, you'd expect a big reaction.
Yeah.
But there is nothing. The crowd is like, don't know what's happening here. And when he gets kneed, they do go, ooh. Like that. But again, WWE overplaying the natural love we have for general daddies. just strange. Miz then launches back into the ring when George Mizanin goes down. Proper fire.
Yeah.
And it makes me annoyed because I don't Miz at his best. Mm. I go, why doesn't Miz do this more often? Why do we have to have that thing of just like, the honour of my pappy is so important. That is the only thing that will get me to that level.
Well, it's that like, sort of, you know, they talk about most video games, films, etc. It's all about the damsel in distress.
Yeah.
We need more daddies in distress. That's what we need.
There is something odd about this WrestleMania. You also get to see Triple H's dad.
Mm.
And it's like a big daddy WrestleMania. Really strange. Now, this match it's long, but it's decent. It's well laid out. There's some good moments.
They could have put big daddy in the WrestleMania Hall of Fame,
wouldn't
they?
That would have been amazing. But then the problem is he the biggest daddy?
Exactly.
Ask Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll have another answer for you. Shane gets suplexed by Miz off a big tower.
Yes.
And then he manages to get the pin because he has to prove that he is the son of the best daddy of them all. And it is important that Miz is shown to be a loser in front of his own father.
Yes.
His father's been beaten up. Broken now his rib. Son has been pinned. And Shane can stand there and go, I wish my daddy was here to see this. maybe he's watching on the monitor backstage. No, Pat Patterson is telling me he's left with this one. He's gone for a poo. I love you, Danny.
He's got like... I just like the fact that they do... there's these kind of like supports with LED screens.
Yeah.
You know, individual LED screens. Like, pretty chunky, pretty well put together, pretty expensive LED plates.
Mm.
And they do pile through them at one point. And I was like, it's not a large amount of voltage going across those things because they're LEDs. But it's still... There's probably a few Transformers behind that.
Yeah.
And I sort of go, wow, that was quite amazing.
Why wouldn't
that they
do something else that wasn't expensive?
Yeah.
You know, that's
why I never understand why we always just see when they scatter all the little tellies and smash them up on the announcer's table. They must go through those fuckers like... yeah. anything.
Although things quite often, so cheap. Of course, when they go through those tables, the first thing they do is they take those off.
Right,
and that's
yeah,
because
okay.
it is annoying not to have them. They are specifically audiovisual, for the commentators to take them off, and then you can do your thing. There's a good bit where Shane gets a back body dropped onto the roof of a golf cart, and he just skids straight off it and onto the floor. And golf carts are quite high.
Yeah.
So they've got that thing of going, I'll go on the roof of that. And then you've forgotten that there's a 6 foot drop onto the concrete on the other side. And he does just go down that. And it's a physical, hard hitting match.
Yeah.
It's good, you know. It's nice to see Miz doing something that's good. And the reality is, we can see the two good WrestleMania matches he's had are the one where John Cena had Nikki Bella, because that was fraught and weird, and where he had his dad, which is this weird thing about families and, you know, Shane McMahon and stuff. And Miz is only good when he's in a position where there's some weird, uncomfortable family dynamic playing against him.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, they've got to remember that. They've got to remember it going forward.
I like it when they scatter and go fighting in the crowd. Mm. Someone keeps on holding up like a really unlovable looking hoodie for a company, like a plumber's or a, I don't know, like a scaffolding company or something, and they hold up. There's a big phone number on the front. I wonder if anyone called that.
Lovely.
They will have done.
I did notice more and more in this WrestleMania as well. They cut away the second you see signs. So anyone right. holds a sign up, they're just like, we can't take the risk.
Okay.
And so they are continually cutting away from signs. They would only cut back to a lot of the time when people were literally putting the signs down.
Right.
You see a lot of signs coming down, but no signs on screen.
Right.
In this WrestleMania, they're obviously getting to that point of just going, if someone's got a sign, it might say something that is absolutely
that we don't know
terrible.
What it is. Yeah.
You know, it's rude sights. there were lots of memes about George Mizanin afterwards, where he would be having his dukes up, you know, pictures of him against Thanos and things like that. But he did end up getting his own official WWE T-shirt.
Oh, lovely.
It was a picture of him with the words, my mood, above it. just not very good.
No.
Not very good. No. He is... I did actually find myself down a rabbit hole of just looking at pictures of George Mizanin through his life. And he is a delightful looking chap. Every time you see him, he's got a big smile on. Funny nice. That his big moment in WrestleMania is frozen, looking nervous, and then having his rib broken. Doesn't seem like the rest of his life has built up
what
to
was
that.
It, what does he do as a job? I just want to know what he
don't
does.
Know.
Like,
don't know.
He fixes
he's, do you know what he is? He's a loving daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is the
I might
in
not
itself.
Be CEO of a billion-dollar company. I might not be a wrestling promoter. What I am is someone who has the love of my children, who I love back. Priceless. match number 5. The WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, the Boss and Hug Connection, Sasha Banks and Bayley versus Nia Jax and Tamina versus the Iconics versus Natalia and Beth Phoenix.
So, the Boss and Hug Connection is a tortured rock and roll connection. Kind of
rock
thing.
And sock connection,
rock and
I think,
sock
yeah.
Connect-
that,
oh,
that
right,
itself
see,
was
yeah, okay.
a pop, sort of play on the Rock and Roll Express, possibly.
Oh, right,
or,
okay, yeah.
It's when it's gone three away from whatever it originally was.
It's so confusing.
And it's wrestling, sort of like, hey, Boss and Hug. By the way, Boss and Hug is not doesn't sound like rock and sock. It
no.
also doesn't mean anything.
Mm.
They are just their nicknames they've put together.
Yeah, one's a noun.
Exactly. The whole thing's a mess. It's a mess. They should have just been called Banks and Bayley.
That
sounds good.
They had the two.
Banks and Bayley.
Banks and Bayley.
Yeah.
Or possibly Slissers.
The Boss and Hug. The miracle Boss and Hug violence connection. Bayley's poor little inflatable buddies at this. They don't quite get going. They go a bit flaccid. Slightly like they're going, we're reviewing the match that's going to happen. it's going to be a little bit of a letdown.
Mm.
I do have a new rule, which is no more multi-person tag team matches on WrestleMania.
Right.
It's too much of a way of going, we haven't got anything for these people to do.
Yeah, stick them in there.
Stick them all together. Yeah. That will then work. You get to see them. The Iconics win this. They legitimately both break down into tears.
Mm.
They are so happy to win those belts.
And they're out now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah. The belts had been invented less than 5 months before this.
Right, okay.
They were really, you know, I think it's sweet when people are like, this matters. This is the thing we've worked for. Here we are at WrestleMania winning a title.
Mm.
That is a lovely thing to see.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Peyton Royce looks a little bit like one or all of Little Mix.
Yes, I always think together. She looks like a couple of the women who were not in Hearsay, Liberty X.
Yes.
She's got
nice.
A Liberty X
yeah,
look.
Yeah, fair dues.
The Iconics would wear those belts into irrelevance. Sasha Banks and Bayley would work quite hard to make them mean something.
Right.
The Iconics just, they were joke belts, and it did not do them any good. Sasha Banks and Bayley were told at the last minute that they would be dropping their championship to the Iconics. Sasha Banks took it very, very badly. She felt already that she, you know, had missed out on being part of the main event.
Right.
You know, an iconic moment for women's wrestling. And she felt like, you know, I would have loved to have been in that mix. When they said, you're losing the belts to the Iconics, she basically went home. She no-showed the following Raw the next night and then a TV talk show because she was so depressed about the whole thing. And she spent quite a while away from wrestling. So I love it when people care.
Yeah.
I love it that people care more. The actor who cares more than the writer and the director and the production company, she just cares about how it made sense and about what they were doing in the long term.
Yeah.
When she won the Tag Team Championships, Peyton Royce became the first wrestler who was born in the 90s to win a title at WrestleMania.
Okay.
But that would have made her... She was born in 92, so it would have made her 27, which seems... oddly old to be the first wrestler from the 90s to win a belt.
Yeah.
I was working out and I was like, okay, so if you were born in the 2000s, how old would you have to be to win a title at WrestleMania? You'd have to be 21 already.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not a good stat. it's a really unimpressive stat. We have now got a main event. And had this been a year later and we were doing WrestleMania over two nights, which the 7.5 hour runtime of this one sort of lent towards.
Yeah.
This would have been the first night's main event. Mm. And what a flipping beauty.
It was so good.
Oh.
And it's an even... knowing that Kofi Kingston's fan base, possibly you would surmise, skews a bit younger, this kind of match might keep this product going for
totally.
10 years
yep.
longer than it
this
would
This is
do.
The match between the WWE champion Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston. The only real angle that they have on the show, the only real, apart from the main event. Wrestling, it's not really about wrestling, is it? Wrestling is about doing something in a ring that conjures up the emotions that you want the audience to feel. And wrestling, I think, at its root, it's about the ultimate battle between good and evil. It's justice and injustice, and it's right versus wrong. And what you have is you have Kofi Kingston being all of the positive attributes there. He's been with the WWE for 11 years. He has never been given a chance at the top belt, despite being hugely popular, incredibly good in the ring, and continually getting over with every crowd that he performs in front of. In 11 years, he's never had a world title shot. And suddenly, this is a movement which is growing. Kofi Mania is running wild, is the big thing I keep saying. Now, this is the perfect angle that is only ruined today by the knowledge of what happened afterwards,
right?
Which is everything was exactly the same as it was before. But what we have here is we have one night where everything is perfect. And what it's most reminiscent to is the quest that Daniel Bryan had for his own championship title shot at WrestleMania 30. What makes this more exciting for me from the point of view of it is this was not planned at all. This was one of those organic movements that WWE couldn't really avoid having to address. So him winning at WrestleMania was never the plan that they had. He'd been a last minute replacement in the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which had taken place about a month earlier. And he was, from that moment, people just wanted to see him win. He'd stepped in to replace a performer called Mustafa Ali. And Mustafa Ali was supposed to be the guy who was the breakout performer at Elimination Chamber, but he'd been injured. Now, people always said, had he not been injured, Kofi wouldn't have gone in, and then Kofi wouldn't have had WrestleMania. They always sort of go, presumably we were building up to Mustafa Ali and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. That was never the plan either. The original plan was for Daniel Bryan to meet Kevin Owens. But the crowds changed the booking because they really, really got behind Kofi. And one of the other people who got behind Kofi was Daniel Bryan. So Kofi said, Daniel pushed for that to happen. The plans weren't for me to be at WrestleMania, but Daniel went in and he went to bat for me and the situation and the title match for us to happen. He was a big part of it. It's a testament to his state of mind as far as advancing the business and doing the right thing for the people and best product. And what you can see here is just beyond the thing of Kofi Kingston being the most deserving person to have this, and beyond it being a great match, is this is the right thing for business. When those things come together and they're just unstoppable, they become magical moments, and they happen more and more infrequently in a world of so much wrestling and so much television. But when they're right, God, you watch this.
Yeah.
It is just a thrilling, beautiful experience. And this match, I'd remembered it was the best match on this WrestleMania. I'd forgotten how brilliant it was.
Yeah.
Loved it.
It was. I like the fact that they had to kind of... It's funny because Daniel Bryan is the crowd please. Like, everyone loves Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And even then, like, Kofi Kingston is so beloved. And I think in the physicality of his kind of setup, the New Day, he's smaller, he's pluckier. He would be the underdog against anyone in the ring. And he's just a charisma bomb, and he's great at his job, and it's just, he's a man against all the odds in this. And I do like the fact that they had to kind of... maneuver a storyline into Daniel Bryan suddenly hating Kofi.
And
they managed to do it clearly.
They managed to push that thing, the reality of it, of them saying that Daniel Bryan would end up saying, Kofi, you're great, but you're a B plus player, which was a line that had been used about him 5 years before as he built up to WrestleMania 30. Right. What you had is Daniel Bryan being the person who didn't want to have the match against Kofi, whereas previously with Daniel Bryan, it had always been the WWE were seen as the bad guys.
Yeah.
I think they were like, we want to stop doing those things where we portray ourselves as the bad guy. What is brilliant as well about this is how important the New Day were to this whole storyline. What you had was you had the other two members of the New Day, Xavier Woods and Big E, doing everything they could to help Kofi Kingston's WrestleMania dream come true. So they were put into an angle where they had to win a tag team title tournament on Raw, and if they did, then Kofi got the main event of WrestleMania. So they showed these friends doing everything they could, and when they finally win this match, they celebrate like they are going to WrestleMania when they're doing it for their mates. And what it becomes is this beautiful thing about friendship and about belief and about going what is due, and those people working together to lift up their friend to the position that he should have been in.
And Rowan's there.
And Rowan's there.
Don't forget Rowan.
Worth pointing out that WWE did very briefly touch on the racial element of this, which is that due to his colour of his skin, Kofi Kingston had been held back.
Right.
They very quickly backed off on that because I think it is one of those things of, it is true. It has to be true.
Yeah.
Because if Kofi Kingston not becoming a major player within the WWE was not based on his popularity, his ability, his work rate, or his attitude, what is it based on? It can only be that there was something holding him back, and it must be some kind of institutional idea.
His face doesn't fit.
They did back off of mentioning anything from the racial element, I think wisely, because you can't win. That can only be an open sort of festering sore, that, especially if you're using it in the context of a storyline. Very hard to double back on that.
Yeah.
But it was true. They did have an original idea for Kofi Kingston's entrance that they had to scrap Or they decided to scrap. Kofi said, we were going to dress up in African warrior-inspired entrance gear, and we'd come out. We wanted to have the dancers surrounding us doing traditional African dance. We'd come through the dancers and start vibing with them, and we'd start walking forward. And behind us, we'd have people of all different ethnicities, body types, shapes and sizes, old, young, come out behind us. I'm talking like 50 deep, all wearing old Kofi Kingston shirts, all the way up until New Day shirts and all the different kind of shirts I had. We'd have them all rep because it was all of us that came together for this moment. And then the song on top of that, you would have had tribal drums.
Mr. Mark comes out and says, I thought you were Jamaican.
That is the thing. You're very proud of your Ghanaian heritage now.
Now we've retired the Jamaican thing.
You did spend 6 years saying Mon a lot. The rapper Mega Ran was going to be doing the new theme tune. He said it was definitely not the same as the previous theme. It wasn't something to dance to. It was slow and brooding, ready for war. We were trying to invoke Kofi's spirit and what he had to go through to get to the championship match and invoking his African roots. There were a lot of drums and it felt like a war scene, like a scene in Black Panther. It was very different. I totally understand. To switch from clapping and pancakes to a war tribe feel would be a huge change, even if just for one night. Since 2014, so 5 years, the New Day's role at WrestleMania, they'd never won a match. Mm. They'd either lost or they'd hosted it or they'd been battle royals. They'd been wasted. They'd never won at WrestleMania. Mm. And so now they're going up against Daniel Bryan. He's the man who is in the same position that Kofi is now. Mm. He is the champion. He doesn't want Kofi to get that chance to get the belt, the chance that he obviously needed to become the champion himself. He was doing a gimmick at this time as the Planet's champion. So he had a wooden and bamboo title belt. Only in WWE does sort of go, I care about the world.
Yeah.
You go, natural heel. Natural heel. And they've stuck him with Eric Rowan. Hard to remember why. Eric Rowan comes out in a Ramones t-shirt that's actually got George Romero's name on it and the names of the Dawn of the Deads.
Yeah, what?
Don't know.
Don't know your own stuff.
You had all summer. But, I mean, this is only a year since Daniel Bryan's return from his series of, you know, terrible. Amazing he ends up being a hated heel. You know?
Yes, it is.
Just
crazy.
Incredible.
Crazy.
And he is great in this match. He's the perfect opponent for Kofi Kingston because he's acknowledged as being one of the best in the world. If you'd have put Kingston against Lesnar, it would have seemed like a little bit of a stretch, I think. People would have been, oh, well, he's going over, but it's not real. And what you get here is you get a really competitive match. They go to and fro, and it's made so much better by the New Day being on the outside. They're genuinely cheering Kingston on, and they look fretful and worried and hopeful. They do so much of the work, and the crowd fucking care.
Yeah,
you give people a reason to care about a wrestling match, and they will care about it until you tell them it's over.
Yeah.
They are willing on Kingston. They are legitimately scared that Daniel Bryan will manage to out-wrestle him and lose. And what you have is you have Kingston doing everything on his own. The New Day, they don't interfere. They have a little bit where Eric Rowan gets sort of involved, and so they get to do a move on him, but they keep everything in the ring away. By the time Kofi Kingston kicks out of Daniel Bryan's running knee, the pop on that is nuts. 15 minutes of just fever pitch match, and what you end up in is the thing that they're always going on about. You end up with a WrestleMania moment. You know, probably since the last time was WrestleMania 30 when Daniel Bryan won.
Yeah,
you know, a proper emotional moment.
Such a good match.
So good. And watching Xavier Woods cry, properly cry, because his best friend has done it, and it feels like they've achieved. And they've Samuel Woods did say his whole aim with the New Day was to get Kofi Kingston to that position. You know, that's always something that they wanted to do.
And Kofi's kids come in
and they're charismatic and they're really fun. And what it does, of course, is it goes, this isn't just an angle, this is something bigger. Here is my outside world, here are my kids. They've come in, it means something to them because it means something to me. So it now means something to you that's bigger than just we do a silly predetermined pseudo sport.
And then, I presume those t-shirts that they were hawking were on the...
Oh yes. Big E comes out at the start and he shows Kofi Kingston a box. He goes, this is for you afterwards. This is for you. And he puts it down. And I remember when I first watched this match, I thought, oh no, there's going to be either he's going to win, and then I thought Big E would like take something out and it would be like a brass knuckles and he'd hit him with them. And it was going to go, oh, you got what you wanted, but now New Day have split up and now they're going to feud.
Yeah.
And what it turns out to be is it turns out to be the proper championship belt
that he gets at the end
to replace the gimmick wooden bamboo one that
Daniel
Bryan has.
Which looks quite cool, I think.
It does look quite cool. But Xavier Woods cannot bring himself to pull off the blanket that's over it because he's crying so hard. Properly good. It is the right people in the right match with the right angle at exactly the right time. This,
yeah.
It just the very fact that it isn't put together in a room a year before. It is not relentlessly built to. It's a natural build that people were like, "Is it going to happen? Isn't it?" Mm. That was thrilling. By the time you get there, in come the kids. It is real. It's 100% real. Kofi said, "I felt I had definitely a great career where I've been so blessed to have experienced so many things in this business. To be known for certain things and to be considered a decent athlete. But when I was a kid, my goal was always to be WWE champion. When you're fantasizing about being a WWE superstar, when you're wrestling in the neighborhood with the other kids, the goal is always, you know what? I want to be the champion. That was always in something in the back of my mind that I needed to have happened."
Oh,
so just
Marky
good.
Mark.
Probably the last proper, you know, WrestleMania moment, apart from the historic ones of women headlining, things like that. I mean, it just is great. It ends then fucking badly.
Right.
So within 6 months, Kingston has lost the belt to Brock Lesnar. But he does so in a 2 minute squash match where he gets no offence in. He's just absolutely steamrolled. And it happens because SmackDown has moved to a new TV network and they want to go, here's an exciting start.
Right.
And so they absolutely sacrifice him for that. He never gets another title shot again. He doesn't get a rematch at all. Daniel Bryan looked back on this match and he said it was his favourite WrestleMania matches he was ever in, even though he was on the losing end. He said it was also really nice. He loved to see everyone flocking over to Kofi backstage, and he said, because then I could just catch up with my family. He said one of the nicest things was, he said, in 2014 when I won the belt, I was in a lot of pain, and I had to get up the next morning really early to do a load of media and press. And he said, come WrestleMania 35, that was all Kofi's responsibility. I didn't have to do a thing. Kofi did talk about that, and he says, even with WrestleMania, Becky Lynch and myself had media at 4 in the morning.
Oh,
we ended up getting 3 hours of sleep, and then we got called to do Raw that night, and then the next night on SmackDown. I didn't even get to fully grasp what had happened until a few weeks later. That's really the nature of this business where so much happens.
Give them the day off.
It sounds absolutely fucking awful. But what a match. Look, if you're going to put together a list of the top 10 WrestleMania matches of all time, I actually think that's got a place on it.
Yeah.
It's a banger. People go, it's one of the great matches. They forget. It's so much better than that. So much better than that.
Enjoy a bell.
That is the end of night one. Join us next week because we're going to be coming back with WrestleMania 35 night two, a.k.a. the bad night.
The dark night. Rubbish night.
Until then, we'll see you soon. Big kiss to the face. Bye.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this yeah. shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.